we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That we don't have to manufacture that. That Christ did it all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He did it all. And so in salvation, saints, in salvation, what do? I rest.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of Faith in God, Part 1, from our series, The Difference. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Faith in God.
Life, there are things that make a difference, and we need to make sure that we incorporate these into our lives so that we can live and function in the fullness of what God would have for us. We have been using as a foundational text Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 10 from the Amplified Bible, and it says this: if the axe is dull and he, which is the axeman, does not sharpen his edge, then he must exert more strength. But wisdom to sharpen the axe helps him succeed with less effort. Amen. As we start, I need to give a little background to the message today. And as we give this background, then we're going to jump into the topic that I want to deal with. So, if you want to follow along, I'll be starting out in Numbers 13. If you want to follow along, we'll be starting out in Numbers 13. And we see in Numbers 13 that God directed the Israelites to spy out the promised land. He said that, I have a land that I've provided for you. And this is when they were in Egypt. Or in the wilderness. And he was saying in verse 1 of chapter 13, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. So God gives this directive, this powerful directive, for them to go into the promised land and spy it out. And so they go and they spy out the promised land, and look what they found in verse 23 and 24 when they came to the promised land. It says in verse 23, and they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from there a branch with a cluster of grapes, and they bore it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. And the place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from there. And then they come back and they give this report in verse 27. And they told Moses and said, we came to the land to which thou sendest us. And surely, surely, it flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of the land. And so God was getting ready to take them on a journey. He was going to take them on a journey where they would experience the tremendous blessings of the Lord. But we see, unfortunately, there were some that brought back a negative report. In verse 28, nevertheless, the people are strong that live in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Anak were the giants. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites in the mountains, and the Canaanites by the sea and by the edge of the Jordan. And so they bring back, after they have seen the beauty of the land, after they have seen the blessings that await them in the land, they bring back a negative report and say that there are giants in the land, and the people there are very great, and the cities are walled, and we can't take the land. But I like the next verse, and it says in verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel. And they, the land through which we have gone to search, is a land that, look what they said, that eats up the inhabitants. And all the people we saw there were men of great stature. And there were giants, the sons of Anak, who come from the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so were we in theirs. And so this negative report comes back. And we see, if we jump ahead to chapter 14, verses 8 through 10, it says here that Caleb, Joshua, said, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread unto us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, and fear them not. But all the congregation demanded to stone them with stones. They said, look, Joshua, Caleb, Moses, Aaron, we're not going up. Since that we go up, we are going to stone you with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before the children of Israel. And so God was not pleased with the report that was brought back. That's the introduction to my message. Now let me get into the message. The message is from Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2, as we talk about the difference. As we talk about the difference. It says, for unto us the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, nor not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And so if you go to the next slide, and this is from the Living Bible, for this wonderful news, the message that God wants to save us has been given to us as it was to those who lived in the time of Moses. But it did not do them any good because they didn't believe it. They didn't mix it. And are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that rest is found in Jesus Christ. So likewise was the good news of rest in the promised land. Israel to the promised land. And that was to be their rest. Once they got to the promised land, they would have entered into the rest. It said, but it didn't do them any good. And why didn't it do them any good? Because they didn't mix the promise with faith. And so we are talking today about the difference. And what is the difference? We've looked at the difference as far as spending time with God. We've looked at the difference as far as the Holy Spirit and the power of God. We've looked at the difference in other ways. But today, we want to look at the difference as far as faith is concerned. Faith makes a difference. Faith was the difference between wandering in the wilderness and enjoying the fruit of the promised land. Wow. Faith made the difference between, and go to that next slide. Look at this. This is deep, right? A journey that should have taken 11 days took 40 years. Why? Because of unbelief. Because of a lack of faith. In Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, it is an 11 days journey from Horeb, which was in Egypt, by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. If you look at right there where it says the Mediterranean Sea, if the Israelites would have followed that journey up there close to the Mediterranean Sea, it would have took them 11 days to get to the Promised Land. 11 days. But because of unbelief, but because of a lack of faith, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. My friends, faith makes the difference. And we're going to look at this in our situations today, that if we're dealing with sickness in our life, I'll tell you what's going to make the difference. Faith will make the difference. If you're dealing with a need in your life, I'm going to tell you what's going to make the difference. Faith will make the difference. If you're dealing with other issues in your life, faith will make the difference. And as we consider, faith was the difference between, if you go to that next slide, wandering in the wilderness and enjoying the fruit of the promised land. If they exercise faith instead of unbelief, this is deep, right? I mean, this is really deep. If they would have just came back after they spied out the promised land and they tasted of the fruit of the promised land, if they would have just came back and said what Joshua and Caleb said, yeah, there are giants in the land. Yeah, there are walled cities. Yeah, we did look like grasshoppers in their sight. But you know what? We are well able to take this land. Because if our God is pleased, he's able to knock down walls. If our God is pleased, he's able to help us overcome the giants. If our God is pleased, he is well able to give us the promised land. And that's all they had to do. That's all they had to say. And 11 days, they would have been in the promised land. Instead, because of unbelief, because they didn't exercise faith, they wandered for 40 years. And the sad reality is that most of them died in the wilderness. And even though they heard the promise and they heard all the good things about the promised land, that they died in the wilderness because of unbelief. If they only would have exercised faith, they would have walked in the will of God. It was God's will for them to enter the promised land. And they would have entered in had they exercised faith. If they exercised faith, they would have pleased God. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. For they who come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek it. You can't please God without faith. I remember one time I was having some plumbing problems at my house. And this plumber came by. And he knew I was a minister, but he wasn't saved. And so he began to talk to me about religion. And he was telling me all this stuff about religion and you know, why he thought religion was this and why he thought religion was that. And so I said to him, I said, well, you know what? You know, this salvation that we have in Christ, I said, it's not about religion. I said, it's about a relationship. And I was trying to explain to him. And you know what he said? I mean, this guy, evidently, he had fought through this, right? And he was waiting to get with a minister to, I guess, try to hammer this thing out. And so he said to me, He said, when you say having a relationship with God, you might as well just be saying that's like having a relationship with a wall. He said that means nothing to me. He said, I can have a relationship with my wife. He said, I can have a relationship with my dog. He said, but I can't see how you can have a relationship with God. And at that point, the light went off in my head. And I told him, without faith. Without faith. I mean, if you don't have faith, you're right. Talking about a relationship with God is just like talking about a relationship with a wall. What makes the difference? Faith makes the difference. And if we, and I don't know if I'm going to get to it this week, but I want to talk about the different levels of faith. And the deeper we go in our faith, the more we see the power of God at work in our life. And so, if they would have exercised faith instead of unbelief, they would have walked in the will of God, they would have pleased God, and they would have enjoyed the blessings of God. Think about that. Let me ask you, where's your faith? Like I said, I don't know if we're going to get to it this week. You know, the Bible talks about no faith, little faith, growing faith, strong faith, and great faith. It identifies all those levels of faith. And so without me getting to the teaching on it yet, just think about that. No faith, little faith, increasing faith, strong faith, great faith. Just what is your first impression about where your faith is? Do you have no faith? Do you have little faith? And so as we look at where we are in our faith walk with God, that determines a lot about where we are in our life. And so we see faith was the difference between wandering in the wilderness and enjoying the fruits of the promised land. What is faith? What is faith? So in salvation, right, we have rest. We have ceased from laboring, doing works of righteousness, keeping the Ten Commandments, helping little old ladies across the street, buying Girl Scout cookies, Boy Scout cookies, whatever, you know, doing good works. And we now are positioned in Christ where we what? Where we rest, right? We don't have to work for our salvation anymore. We work because we are saved, but we don't work to get saved. We rest in the fact that we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, that we don't have to manufacture that. That Christ did it all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He did it all. And so in salvation, saints, in salvation, what do? I rest in him, right? And God was trying to get the people of Israel to go into the promised land so they could what? So they could rest. And all they needed to do was exercise faith. So when we talk about faith, what is faith? I really want you to understand this. Now, when we talk about faith, we can talk about the faith, which is the Christian faith, right? Or we can talk about the faith, which would be the doctrines of the Christian faith. But that's not what I'm talking about today. I want to make this thing personal, and I want to say, what is faith for us? Faith in God. And faith in God means to rest. It means to receive the promise of God. It means to embrace the promise of God. It means to step out on the promise of God. And it means to trust the promise of God. See, this is what happens. Faith brings us into another dimension. My eyes, my ears, my nose, my tongue, and my hands bring me into contact with this world. Think about it. That because I can see, just look, you can look around And because you can see, that brings you into contact with this world. Because you can hear, that lets you hear the things that are happening in this world. Because you have a nose, you can smell the aromas of this world. Because you have a tongue, you can taste the fruits of this world. And because you have hands, you can feel. That brings you into the feeling part of this world. Right? Our five senses bring us into contact with this world. What brings us into contact with the relationship with God? What you can't experience God with just your five senses. Now, you can come into contact with some of the things that God does with your five senses, but you can't experience God in the fullness with your five senses. What do you need to come in? What do you need to come into contact with God? You need faith. Right? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, you can't even communicate with God. You know, sometimes I'll be driving down the parkway and I'll just get into a shouting fit, right? Praise God. Amen. You know, I'll hear something and I'll say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Now, you know, somebody else riding, now they should be keeping their eyes on the road, but if they happen to look and see me acting the fool, talking to God, then what's the thing that this dude is crazy? Who is he talking to? What is he doing? And they don't realize that I'm entering into, and I'm just calling it, like this is not a theological concept. This is not a biblical concept. This is something I'm making up, so I'm letting you know. I want to let you know. I'm making this up, right? I come into contact with my sixth sense. Into another world, right? And it's through faith. And so I hear these promises of God. And so as I hear the promises of God, the first thing that I have to do is I have to receive the promises of God. I've been young and I've been old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. That's a promise of God. If I'm going to exercise faith, I have to receive that. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I've got to receive that promise. I can't begin to exercise faith if I don't receive the promise. Right? This might not be the most edifying illustration, but there's plenty of soap and water in the world. And unless you appropriate it, let me move on to my next point. Unless you appropriate it, it doesn't do you any good. I've quoted this by Hudson Taylor many times, and that is, he was writing to his wife at one point when the funds were particularly low, and they were having a difficult time. And Hudson Taylor wrote to his wife, and he said, we have 25...
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Faith in God, Part 1. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Faith in God, Part 1, you can contact us at Anchored in God, Part 1. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Faith in God, Part 1. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, The Difference, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.